Good morning, fans. Welcome to another episode with the Strikeout Boys. I am Lasha. I'm here with my good friend
Pablo. What's going on, guys? Episode 22. This episode's name is What Did He Say? So, you know, we're all talking about Boston Red Sox, Jaren Duran.
All-Star.
All-Star Duran, exactly. He's
And he won the All-Star MVP, by the way.
He did. He's a pivotal piece of this Boston Red Sox team who's still in the race for the wild card. And we're going to talk a lot about this guy because, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys don't know about him. You know, he's like a unsung hero. And at the same time, he just got in trouble and, you know, he got suspended for 2 days and he had to give part of his salary to the PFLAG, the PFLAG. And that stands for Parents and Families and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And we're going to discuss all that on this episode. And then we're going to get into, you know, our teams. And we're going to talk about what's going on out there with, like, what, 43 games left in the season. It's getting super interesting. And let's get started. So what's up, Blash? How you feeling, brother?
I'm doing well, man. It's been pretty interesting. I saw this and I was like, come on, man. This is what we really have to talk about, but it's what it is. You got to take what the season gives you, you know? But, yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, so Jaren Duran, right, he got suspended for 2 games for uttering an anti-gay slur, right? And pretty much he was getting heckled, and I think I read something about, like, oh, you need a racket to hit that ball or something like that. He turned around and he said, shut up, you effing F, you know? So, yeah, they suspended him for 2 days, and you have to understand that Duran doesn't make a lot of money to begin with, right? He was, you know, he came in late into the league, right? So these guys have control over him. And he only gets paid $760,000 a year. So he's been getting paid this amount for the last couple of years. And he lost $8,172 worth of that money, of that salary, because of, you know, the suspension. And he had to give up that money because of it. Now, you know, listen, I understand you get out there, you're frustrated, you know, and, you know, the fans are heckling you. But this is part of the game, right? This is what happens. You know, you have to take criticism, even if it's negative. And, you know, when the fans are happy, you love it, right? When the fans are upset and, you know, they don't like what they see, I mean, should they be going after you this way? I mean, listen, I talk, you know, trash about my team, but I'm not out there on the field making a fool out of myself, you know what I'm saying? And calling shots at, you know, Pete Alonso because he struck out for the third time, you know, in a game. You know, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not that fan. Because there's a lot of fans out there, you know. And, you know, it's crazy. Those fans, these guys that we're talking about, are the guys that pay a lot of money for these tickets because they're sitting so close to the player that the player can actually hear what they're saying. You have to understand that, all right? So that's, you know, that's another level of craziness to me. Like, all right, so, you know, you're well off, you're able to pay all this money for these tickets, and then you're going to go down there and you're going to make a fool out of yourself. Because you're making a fool out of yourself as well, you know what I'm saying? Because you're talking trash about, you know, a baseball player on the field, and everybody can hear it. This player can hear it. He gets frustrated and he says something negative like that. All right, should he be saying anything at all? What do you think, Lash?
No. Oh, here's the thing, man. I don't like it that the fan gets a pass. Yes, you are a fan. You are a paying customer. Does that give you full autonomy to say what you want, do what you want? No. It's the same thing as, in my opinion, it's the same thing as running onto the field. Yeah, I pay for it. I paid to be at the stadium, but it doesn't give me a right to go jump on the field and, you know, go slap Alonso in the butt. You just can't do that. You know what I mean? So you have, you know, the way the players are held with a decorum and a level they have to have, you as a fan should have to too. And I agree with you. I was never, you know, I had my moments in myself at home, like, you know, I'll be bad-mouthing my own player, but not like at a game. I'm not going to go to a Braves game and be like, Olsen, you stink, dude. You know, exactly. Things like that. It just makes no sense. Yeah, and I don't even hackle the opposing team. So if they were playing the Mets, I'm not like, you stink, Alonso. It just makes no sense. You know, these people are human beings. They're there to entertain us, you know, they got their own things. They don't need us. And it's just so stupid. But I don't like it that what I don't like about this situation is that So that fan can say whatever he wants. Who knows? We don't know what he said. What happens if he says something racist or derogatory towards him, or, you know, said something bad about his family members or something horrible? We don't know. They don't get in trouble, but because he's a player, he is. It should be a two-way street. All right, so you want to say what you want, you have to say, but you both have to pay a consequence. You know, if it's... Now, if it's one of those things where the fan says, you know, you're having a crap, you stink today, then what he did was across the line, in my opinion. You can't go that extreme. You just say, okay, whatever. But if it's something where the guy was offensive towards him, or, you know, said something upsetting, you know, the way I always take it, but, you know, and just in life, you know, with our jobs, you know, we deal with patients and stuff like that. You know, if someone says something to me about the way I'm doing my job, I don't get offended because maybe I'm having a bad day, whatever. But if you attack me about doing my job because who I am as a person, or, oh, you're doing this because you're this, this, and that, then I'm going to have to defend myself. But I'm not going to defend myself in the sense I'm going to come back at you in a cursing tirade. But this is just unacceptable behavior from both parties. You know, the notion that free speech, yeah, you can say what you want, but you really can't. There are consequences. For him, that's a lot of money, $8,000. But in today's world, man, you just can't do that because there's cameras everywhere, microphones everywhere. I'm sure that post. And you know what's crazy? He's going to get that fan. He got what he wanted out of him. He got money out of it, and he got to say what he wanted. 15 minutes of fame. It's just stupid, man. You can't give these idiots anything. It's just they take it and run with it. It's just stupid. So
yeah,
you just gotta be like, more careful.
This guy just turned into water cooler talk, you know what I'm saying? He goes back to work, he's like, you read this, that was me, you know, like, that's awful. You know, I'm pretty sure he did that. I'm pretty sure he was laughing it up, you know, with his boys and saying, see what happened, see what I made those guys do. You know, it sucks, you know. These guys have to reprimand him, you know. But like I said, there's certain etiquette when you go to, you know, a ballpark, you know, and you have to, you know, you have to sit down and watch. It's like a movie, you know. Yeah, you know how, like, people like to scream at movies or scream at the villains and stuff like that. You know, I think that's, if I'm going to a movie theater and I'm watching a flick and I don't want people, you know, yelling over my shoulder at the screen, you know. Like, I want to watch this film in peace, you know. But, you know, you get what you get. You go out there, there's like 50,000 people out there, and you don't know what you're going to get, you know. But let's continue to talk about Durant and, you know, his case. He has a serious case, right? So he decided, I believe he decided to go to college for 4 years, right? They drafted him. He was drafted really late, 220th overall in the 7th round. And, you know, he had trouble. Once he came up into the league, he wasn't performing properly, so they sent him down a couple of times. He came back up, but last year, he really, like, solidified himself as a starting role center fielder for them. And he's been lights out. You know, he hits the ball really well. He has control back there, and he's a big piece of this puzzle. All right, if these guys make the postseason, you know, this is the guy you want, you know, starting for the Boston Red Sox. You know, he's even up for, like, MVP this year, you know, with Bobby Witt Jr., Juan Soto, you know, Gunnar Henderson. So, you know, this guy's really, really good, right? In the first half, he batted .284 with 41 RBIs and 10 home runs, 22 stolen bases. So he's a jack of all trades, you know what I'm saying? Not only does he hit the ball well, he's stealing bases as well, you know? So it's not like, you know, Boston doesn't appreciate him. It's just that they got him at a later age and they have control over him. So they're not going to raise his salary at this point because they have no reason to, you know? And they're definitely not going to trade him because that would be silly, right? Think about it. You have control over him until the age of 31. He's performing the way he is now. You know, so a lot of fans say, oh, man, you know, this guy deserves a raise, but he's definitely not going to get that raise. I mean, listen, we work in a field where we get nowhere near $760,000 a year. And if you think about it, for a year's work, that's a lot of money. But we're talking about a baseball player now, right? So if he's performing the way he is and he's so good at his job, and these other guys like Mookie Betts and, you know, Otani and, you know, you name them, they're breaking the bank, right? They're making over $1 million a year. So this is a special case for this guy. This guy, you know, he's going to be one of the greats. And you never know. He might even, you know, become a Hall of Famer for all we know, the way he's heading. But he's never going to get, you know, the money that he thinks he deserves.
Yeah, I, you know, I was just looking at his apology. And I just hate it because it's all empty. It's just theatrics because he's not sorry for what he said. He's just sorry that he got caught. And it drives me crazy. Like, you didn't know that was a horrible thing to say. Like, come on, man. That's something we learn at a young age. You just can't say offensive things to anyone about, you know, their race, their creed, their sexuality, or orientation. You can't. Those four things I talked about, you can't talk about offensively to anyone. He knows that. So to say that you realize it was a horrible thing. Yeah, you realized it. So why did you say it? It's not like you didn't know. You just realized it's horrible. Now? No. You just mad, upset that you got caught. So I don't accept his apology, but who am I?
You get caught in the heat of the moment. You say, you know, things that you regret. It's too late now. He apologized, and he's going to have to move forward. He's going to continue to hit. He's going to continue to contribute to his ball club and, you know, put it behind him. That's all he can do right now at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
He got suspended. He got reprimanded, you know?
Yeah, no, that's what it is. You know what they always say? The only two times people are honest is when they're under the influence of drugs or they're angry, and he was one of them. So yeah. You got to be careful. I always think about that when I'm angry at work. I just say, you know what? People are asking, are you mad? I don't talk when I'm angry because I'm afraid I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. So I keep my mouth shut and I walk away and I go to the bathroom or go outside and let it out, because at the heat of the moment, you're going to say something in the eyes of the public, you're over, you know? But he can't do that. He can't, hey, oh, I'm messed. Let me go hide in the dugout. He's not going to do that. He should just kept his mouth shut. But anyway, is it going to hurt him? No. He'll be just fine. They'll keep going. You know, they're in the wild card chase right now. So it's just, in my opinion, it's a big fuss over nothing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But anyway.
That's a certain etiquette out there, you know?
Yeah, no. You got to you gotta be the better person. You got to have the core. Remember, you know what Fanatics stands for? Crazy Looney Tunes. That's what fans are. You and I are crazy Looney Tunes. We don't think rationally when our team's playing. We think in the moment. We don't think of these people as human beings at the moment. We think of them, you're here to help my team win. That's all we care about. In reality, that's not the way it should be, because these people are human beings. They got family to feed. They got, you know, wives and husbands and so on. Just like you and me, you know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't like if people said those things to us while we're at work. We have kids we got to take care of, or family members, to, you know, things like that. So, anyway, let's move on. The Mets are, I know you don't want to talk about it, but
No, we have to talk about it.
We have to talk about it. In my opinion, what really killed the Mets on their road trip was that trip to St. Louis, man. It is the stupidest thing in the world. You just go bounce back and forth. You started in L.A., then you got to go back to all the way to Midwest, Missouri, and then fly all the way back to the West Coast. How crazy is that within 24 hours, dude?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to, you know, listen, this is the lives that they live, right? So they have to travel, you know, they get catered to. It's not like they have to go home and, you know, cook themselves a meal or, you know, help their son with homework or anything like that. It's not that kind of party. You know what I'm saying? They train, they rest a lot. You know, you're on a plane, you're getting catered to. I'm pretty sure that none of those bags that, you know, they carry on the team plane or whatever it is, they don't have to carry any of that stuff. You know, it's a very, you know, it's a good life, man. So I don't want to use that as an excuse for their horrible road trip, you know. 10 games, bro, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back, man. Like, listen, we were in a race, we're still in it. I don't even know how. And we go out there to Anaheim. We lost the series. We won one game, bro. Then, you know, that makeup game in St. Louis, yeah, you know, we won that game. 6-0, right? So we broke that two-game skid against the Angels because we won the first, you know, we won the first one and we lost the second and third in Anaheim. Came to St. Louis, won that game. Then we traveled to Colorado and we lost the first one, right? So here we go again. And then we were able to, you know, win the series. Cool. Whatever. We were supposed to destroy those guys. All right, we won the series. I'm glad, you know, but the Anaheim series really bothered me. What happened there? I don't understand. Then we move on to Seattle. We all know what happened to Seattle. We scored one run in three games, bro. Like, I don't even understand that. I understand Seattle's hot and Seattle's, you know, going to be making the postseason, obviously. You know, they're doing well. But we usually play well against teams like that. But for some reason, it just didn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what I was watching, to be honest with you. So we come back. We won 4 out of 10. And then we go right back into it, right? And we lose our fourth in a row to the Oakland Athletics, bro. Like, you know, everybody's saying that this team now isn't the same. The A's, we're talking about. The A's are... They have something. They're rebuilding and they're playing a lot better now, and it's not the same team that, you know, was playing in April and May, you know? So they have something to prove and they wanna beat up on all these you know, postseason bound teams. So that's what they're doing. Now, if you know, Atlanta took over the last slot in the wild card, and it's crazy to me. And San Diego and Arizona, they already, you know, they solidified their slots, bro. They're four games up, you know, so there's no shot at catching those guys. Those guys are on fire. All right, so now it's going to come down to Atlanta and the Mets once again, as always, and we'll see what happens. You know, Atlanta's playing San Francisco right now, so the Mets fans are scoreboard watching now. So we want San Fran to beat up on Atlanta, and hopefully we can take the series from Oakland, and then we can get back to the race and kind of like forget what happened on that road trip and work from there. But it's not going to get any easier for us because we have to play San Diego, we have to play Arizona, and then we have to play the White Sox. And if the White Sox do anything to us like what they did to the Yankees last night, we're in trouble, bro. You know, like, a lot of analysts always say, oh, these are the teams you're supposed to beat up on, you know, but like everybody else says, that's a professional ball club as well, and you have to worry about that. They're not just going to give you a win. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can see us not making it. I can see us not making it.
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is with the Mets. Like I said, the starting pitching has been really the greatest surprise they've held up so far. It's the bullpen, man. Diaz is a nowhere to be found. They're plugging and playing different guys to fill that closer role. It's not working. They did try to get some. They got that guy Blackburn, I think. Was that Blackman? Yeah. Blackburn from Oakland, I think. He's been okay since
he's been okay. Him. He's been great. He's been great. He's doing his thing.
But he's not their closer for the future. But they have they've signed a lot of money to Diaz, so they got to make it work out. The other problem is the offense just kind of slowed down for the Mets. That's the biggest. That's what was so great when they were on that little winning streak. Their offense was going well. Lindor's picked it up a lot greatly. He's carried that team, in my opinion. You know, McNeil's been doing a little better. You know, Alvarez has been still doing great. You know, things like that. So it's just that bullpen.
We can't score more than four runs. Yeah, we can't. We're not scoring runs, man. Listen, we left Seattle with one run. That's a problem.
Yeah, I saw that game on Sunday, and it looked brutal, man. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I'm not even watching. I haven't been watching. Like, after that road trip, you know, I spoke to my dad last night. He's like, oh, you're going to watch tonight, right? Because it's a 7 o'clock start. He has a problem with the late starts, you know, when those West Coast games. He says they're too late for me, so he doesn't watch. But, you know, he'll watch the recap in the morning. But he's like, oh, yeah, we're back in town. So, you know, he wants to watch. I'm like, I don't really feel like watching. I have a feeling that it's not going to go well for us. And look, I wake up this morning, boom, 4 games in a row. It just, I don't know. And I'm going to be at the game today.
Oh, nice. You working or you?
I'm working it. I'm working it. Yeah, I'm working it.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. I was looking at the Atlanta. I was looking at the Atlanta's. So last week, Atlanta went 2-5 in the 7-game home span. They only won. They split the series with Miami. They went 2-2, and then they just got completely swept by the Brewers, who were the NL's leading Central Brewers. And they just looked awful, man. They lost one game. One of the games lost to Milwaukee. They lost 16-7, bro. They lost by 9, bro. And then they lost 10-0 their first game against Milwaukee. It's just been awful. I don't know what's going on. The starting pitching has been, you know, nowhere to be seen. They don't have a, they have a closer issue as well. The offense is not producing. Olsen's starting to get hot now, which is good. He's been, in my opinion, he's having a his season this year is way worse than last year. He's not producing like he was last year. I don't know what happened or what's going on. I'm wondering if there's an injury that we don't know about, or if he just, you know, fell off the table. Who knows? But yeah, so Atlanta went 2-5. It's what it is. Now they're on the road. They play Colorado, San Francisco, and then they, and then Anaheim. They kind of doing the same trip y'all did. The only difference is instead we're going to we're not going to Seattle. You went to Seattle instead of San Francisco. That's the only difference. So similar road trip that the Mets went on, but yeah, I don't know what to do, man. It's frustrating because. But it's more frustrating as a Mets fan because every time the Mets lose, Atlanta seems to win. Atlanta won last night, so what happens is now the lead for that third spot seems to increase even more. So it's, exactly. It's, I think Atlanta still has the first spot in the wild card. So the Mets are not chasing Atlanta. They're chasing the Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres. No,
they're chasing Atlanta because Atlanta has that last slot. Yeah, San Diego and Arizona, they're already solidified. Like I said, they have a four-game, you know, lead and for that first and second slot. So there's no way they're going to catch them. You know, we have to play them, so we never know what can happen. But the way we're playing right now, man, listen, I don't know. I want to see a great start from Peterson today. He's been pitching really well. We just need to produce some runs, you know. And listen, hopefully San Fran loses today, and then we'll fight our way out of it. We have to play all these teams anyway. We have to play Atlanta towards the end of the season. We have to play the Phillies like 7 times. We have 2 series against those guys, right? You never know. You never know. And, you know, when we play San Diego and Arizona, that's when we're going to really know. Depending on who Atlanta's playing at that point, I'm not sure. But we have to, you know, we have to start winning again. We have to go on a little streak. You know, winning series at this point isn't enough. It seems like it's not enough. It's like, you know, we try and... Even though, you know, I'm going to say at the end of the day, it was a great season, you know. I don't think we're 100% ready. Even if we make the postseason, it's going to be a tough road, especially in that third slot. It's going to be a lot of extra series, and we're going to have to fight our way in there. But if we make it, cool. If we don't, I understand why, you know. We started off late. We couldn't capitalize on these bottom feeders, and like we always do, you know, this is what we do. So it's nothing. It's not a surprise, but I'm happy that, you know, I'm still able to enjoy games, and the season was pretty decent for the most part, you know?
Yeah, like I say, baseball is about enjoying the highs and lows of the season. That's why it's a long season. Baseball is one of those things where you technically, we literally live in the moment because every day there's a game. Every week is different, you know? You know, so it's like if you have one bad week, oh my goodness, my life is over, season's over, what do we do? Where in football, it's like, oh, I got to wait a whole week, I got to deal with this loss for a whole week or enjoy the win for a whole week, you know. So it's harder to enjoy the season because every day, I don't know about you, but my day goes based on how my team, if my team wins, I feel good about everything. If my team loses, I feel like crap for some reason, I don't know.
Yeah, we all do that.
That's not normal, but that's a fan in me.
It's a fan, yeah, it's a fan. Something that, you know, you look forward to. Listen, like my dad said yesterday, you tuning in? I'm like, nope, I'm not tuning in because I already know what's going to happen. Kind of know.
And you're right, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I was right. So it's one of those things. It's like, you're right. It like kind of like, it depends on how your team is doing. It's gonna cause a stir in your life. It's kind of weird that it happens that way, but. Whatever.
Yeah.
I guess we're called diehards for that reason, right?
Yeah.
This is why we're doing a podcast, right? About baseball. No, definitely. And it's weird. Whatever. We're nerds, I guess. I don't know what it is. It's just something.
It's
weird.
Fun, man. I like it because one thing I like about baseball compared to doing like a football podcast is baseball podcast, you get content every day. There's something going on. With football, you got to wait a week. You know, you're waiting on the injury report. You know, there's not much happening during the week other than, oh, they're just practicing. Well, or maybe this guy went down. In baseball, every day there's a game. Something crazy could happen in a game. Look at the season so far. We've had so many no-hitters this year, more than ever. It's crazy. That's something we haven't seen in the past. So that's, you know, it's kind of cool. Like a perfect hitter would be, in for, compared to football, would be like if the quarterback threw 10 touchdowns. Imagine if every quarterback in this season starts throwing, you have multiple quarterbacks throwing 10 touchdowns in a game. That'd be freaking crazy. That's what it's tough. Like, seriously, you know?
I don't know, man. This season, like I said, there's like 43 games left for us.
Yeah.
If you don't figure it out, it's over. It's over.
Well, like I said, if I'm as a Mets fan, I had low expectations because we've been told by the ownership, our goal is to be competitive, but at the same time, he's not going to say, oh, we're rebuilding, because they don't want to do that. Their goal is to be competitive in 2025. But if I can finish with a above 500 record, that's great motivation and for next season, and that way you know what you got to do and plug in the holes that you need to do, and you got the ownership to do that. So if I'm the Mets fans, yeah, it's frustrating. You want to see your team make the playoffs. You want to see them do well. But if they finish above 500, that's exceeding expectations, because if you look at the stats, you know, they didn't predict the Mets to go to playoffs or finish above 500. So to me, it would be a win-win season. You don't see it like that. Neither would I as a fan, but it's what it is. But anyway, I want to give a shout out to Juan Soto of the New York Yankees, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He went 3-for-4 last night with the against the Chicago White Sox. He hit 3 home runs and 4 RBIs, man. Him and Judge have carried the Yankees, man. What do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Because, you know, we usually have a hit of the week, and, you know,
can't pick him all the time.
You can't pick him all the time. I mean, but look what happened overnight, you know. So, like, McCarthy, you know, on August 10th against the Phillies, hit 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, went 2-for-4. And we were like, wow, that guy did, you know, an amazing job, right? And then last night, Soto does what he does best, you know. It's his first 3 home game
in his career, yeah. So yeah, it's crazy because he's going to command north of 600 as far as his money goes. I truly believe that.
I mean, 25 years old, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, he's young, and reason why I say north of 600 because the Nationals offered $420 million. He didn't turn that down, and he loved Washington. He loves the Yankees. He didn't like San Diego. They said there's rifts over there, but he's going to go where the most money is. Everyone is looking at Queens, New York, as where the pot of gold is going to be for him. But who knows? Maybe there'll be a surprise team. You never know. Yankees are a little more fiscal than years past. Years past, they would sign Brandon Blake. Let's sign him now. Like, give him that money now and lock him up. But Boris doesn't work like that. So he's Boris having an Aaron Judge type of year when Aaron Judge hit his free agency year. And he cashed in, so good for Juan Soto, man. I like him. He's great. He's good for the sport. You need him. You know, it's so sad, man, with Mike Trout going down, man. He was such a star, man, when he was playing. But his body just has gave up on Trout, and he's back on the IO. He's done for the season. It's just so sad to see a great player like that. He never won a chip. And I don't know if he's ever going to be back to the all-star caliber that he was at one time. And it's just, I love Trout, man. I'm sad to see him go. So Juan Soto's might be him or Otani going to be the new face of baseball. Who knows?
Yeah, I just don't want him to go to L.A. Because, you know, with the deferred contracts and all that business over there, it's real easy.
He could.
To say, yeah, we'll give you $8 million. $800 million, excuse me.
$80 million per year.
Exactly. And defer most of it, you know. He's 25 years old, you know, like what? Oh, man, I don't want to see that. But why wouldn't he want to go over there with all that talent over there? Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Who knows?
You know, it's going to be scary. I mean, we'll be on, and we'll be discussing all these off-season trades and all these moves. And we'll be watching Mr. Scott Boras for sure. We'll see what happens because, you know, we have Alonso and we have Juan Soto. Let's see what happens.
We have Corbin Burns as a free agent. It's a lot of these Boras clients. But I think this year he's going to play his hands a lot better because last year, this past offseason, he waited too long and these guys didn't get the contract they wanted. They weren't even trade available. And they're not even having that great of a season. Snell's starting to get a lot better now, but he started off slow.
He did.
Jordan Montgomery has been nowhere near what he was last year. Who else were some other Scott Boras players that, you know, didn't really cash in? There wasn't really a lot of big bats that I know of that didn't cash in. Maybe I'm wrong, but other than Ohtani, obviously, but Ohtani's not a Boras agent, a client, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah,
but anyway, I saw the New York Yankees, man. They had recently just acquired Jazz Chisholm Jr., and he, you know, he's an electrifying star. I know you saw him against Miami all the time when he played the Mets.
Yeah.
And to see him get hurt, man, I was like, oh, man, I like the guy. You know, I don't like the Yankees, but, you know, he's a human being. I was like, man, he's great, man. He brought some electricity to that team, man. He brought that
right
energy.
Yeah,
that team
right
didn't
away.
Have that, and he was producing like crazy. And then I saw the replay. So what happened was he's Anthony Volpe hit a single, and he was coming around the base, and he slid into home. And when he slid in, his hands got caught under the catcher's
shin guard,
and he twisted his arm, and they think it might be some UCL tear. So I don't think he's going to have surgery, but he's going to be out for a while, and it's not good because they need him. They don't have a good third baseman. What's his name? Torres has been god awful at second. It's just, so I don't know what they're going to do.
They'll figure it out. They're in the hunt too. Let's talk about Baltimore. Talk to me about Baltimore. What do you think? I mean, listen, you guys. The seesaw effect over there is sickening already. It's like nobody wants to take over. One week it's you guys, next week it's the Yankees, and you keep fighting back and forth, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to come down to the wire.
Yeah, well, Baltimore, they've just lost their fourth starter for the year. Grayson Rodriguez is out for a while. They say he'll be back probably mid-September. It's something with his back. It's frustrating because their starting pitching has been awful. Tyler Rogers, the guy they got from Miami, he had an awful performance yesterday. He got slapped around. So far that trade is not working out. But if they got to scrap through the minors for pitching staff, and they got scrapped together like everybody else. This is one thing I noticed. I sent a message out to the group yesterday. You know, if all these organizations are having issues with pitching, does that mean that all these postseason games are going to be high-scoring games? Because in postseasons past, pitching has been the dominant part and the hitting has been the weak point in the postseason. But who knows? Maybe this postseason, teams are just going to tee off on these bad pitching and just we could have high-scoring games. It'll be interesting. But anyway, Baltimore had a 10-game road trip. They split the series. They went 5-5. So, you know, they always say you want to finish a 500 or better on a road trip. But I wasn't impressed because one of the games, you know, they lost 2 out of 4 to Cleveland. Cleveland's a good team. They have about the same record as Baltimore. But then they got slapped around by Toronto, and now that they lost 2 out of 3 to Toronto, and it's frustrating because they should have taken 2 out of 3. Toronto sold off everything they have, essentially, except for Vladimir Guerrero. And they couldn't do it. And by not doing that, they couldn't take advantage of, you know, getting ahead of the Yankees. And for that, that's why we're now a half a game out of first place. So it's frustrating. I don't know what they're going to do. Offense is not producing well either, but it's I don't know. It's frustrating. So we'll see. They're home now. They got a 5-game homestand, and then they go back. Then they go to New York to play the Mets on Monday. So they play a 4-game series against the Red Sox and 2 against the Nationals. So it's a 6-game homestand. So they got to go at least 4-2. But we'll see. It's going to come down to the wire. The way I look at it, it does make a difference, I guess, because if you're a wild card team, you have to play right away. You got to use all your 3 starters right away. Or if you're the division winner, you get a week off. But it's hard to tell if that's good or bad. Last year, it proved that being the division winner was not good for Baltimore. They got slapped around by Texas. But, you know, that team that made the playoffs last year is an inexperienced team, playoff team. So maybe they'll do better this year. Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But, yeah, my dad always says the same thing. He's like, well, you know, you get that rest, you lose momentum, and then you fall apart. And a team coming off a wild card, you know, they're winning. They go right into the series, and they feel good. They have fire, and it's a little dangerous for that seed that was just sitting there watching, you know? So it's a weird situation. Do you want to be a number one seed and get that rest? It's weird, you know? I would say yeah, because you know you get to rest your body and prepare for the you know the matchup coming. But at the same time, when these teams have momentum, they feel good about themselves after just winning a series. It's I don't know. It's an interesting way of looking at things. There's no wrongs and no rights, but let's see what happens, man. I mean, I'm really worried about these guys. Let's see what happens. But hopefully Baltimore takes the division. That's what I want. I don't want the Yankees saying, yeah, we're back, and all this hot trash that they like to talk on the streets of New York here. You know, I want Baltimore to take the division. Listen, if the Yankees make the wild card, let them fight. You know, they can easily get bumped by any team. Any team making the postseason this year, I mean, they fought hard to get there. Because as you can see, this wild card situation is really crazy right now. And I know a lot of teams are looking at San Diego and Arizona like, wow, what are those guys doing over there? What are they eating? They're fighting. And I can't wait to see those guys in the playoffs, that's for sure. You know, if the Mets do make it, we're going to have to go through that road. And that road is going to be a tough one. But we'll see what happens. We'll get a little bit of, you know, we'll get a little bit of that postseason action in a couple of weeks when we play those guys. So, and then, you know, we play Baltimore as well, which is, you know, my...
That's just a three-game series, yeah.
It's a three-game series, but that's like my, that's my World Series this year. You know, that's what I wanted, you know. I wanted to see the Mets and the Orioles in it, in the big show. But,
the 69 rematch of 69
yeah,
World Series.
I would love to see that. That's what I want to see. You know, it's never, you know, I'm not saying it can't happen, but the way the Mets are playing right now, I don't know. But we'll see. But I'm definitely going to be at one of those games, and I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy that series. It's nice. Those guys are great. I love Baltimore. I don't have a problem with those guys. I really want them to go far, and I want them to show the Yankees who's the boss.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? It's like, I don't know. But we're coming to the part of the show where last week we were talking about our favorite baseball movies, right? I only have two, to be honest with you, because I remember watching these two movies like over 20 times as a kid. And never got tired of them. It was crazy. I don't know why I watched these movies so many times. I really enjoyed them, I guess. And I thought they were funny and well put together. But my first movie is going to be Major League with Charlie Sheen. That movie to me was classic. It was great. I loved it. It was like a great comedy, you know, revolving itself around baseball in a season. It was great to me. I loved it. I love the characters. I love all the players on that team. And that was back then when, you know, Cleveland was still the Indians. And
yep.
It was a fun movie to watch. That's just my personal opinion. I know you don't really care for that movie, but, you know, that was one of my favorites.
And what's your second one?
My second one was Bull Durham.
Okay. Kevin Costner.
Yes.
He always makes good movies, man. Those are good choices, man. I like those two. Those are definitely, they're in my top five list. So those two. But anyway, so my top five is Field of Dreams, number one.
Okay.
Build It and They Will Come. That was great. Bull Durham, number two. The Rookie with Dennis Quaid, where he plays a character of Jim Morris, who was a high school baseball coach in Texas. And he made a bet with his players that if they won the championship, the high school championship, he would try out. And he did, and he made the Tampa Bay Devil Rays at the time baseball team. It's a pretty amazing story. And then 42, Chadwick Boseman, about the great Jackie Robinson. That's a great movie, man.
I saw that in the theater. That was an awesome movie. I completely forgot
great
about that.
Great movie.
One.
Yeah. Bro, there's so many, man. I was like, man, but so. And then my last one is Good Old Sandlot, when the ball goes over and they were terrified about getting the ball. Because they were about that big dog, and that was a great movie, man.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
Yeah. I remember that, because I remember playing in this weird situation back when I was a kid. We had like this little like cement lot, and we played a lot of our games there, and it was crazy because you had to be really good at pitching, because the wall behind the batter was pretty much where the strike zone ends, right? So if you threw way above that, then you would have to climb a fence and grab the ball, which is pretty interesting. And sometimes they would lock the gate, so this little cement sand lot was amazing. So if you hit the ball really well, you would have to climb a gate. and go into like this empty lot across the street.
And
so
there was a lot
of things and get the ball, you know. So like, you know, we had a couple
and run back fast because you're terrified something's gonna come, boogeyman's gonna come out and get you.
There was a lot of, you know, bad things about that cement lot, but we had fun back there. A lot of climbing, a lot of exercise, that's for sure. Kept me slim over the years for sure. But yeah.
But before we end the show, I want to bring up something. So a while back, we were talking about the balls and strikes review system they have implemented in the minor leagues. Well, last night, I went to my first minor league game. I went to the AAA Gwinnett Stripers here in Gwinnett in Lawrenceville, Georgia. They're the affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. And they have the balls and strikes review system. It's fantastic. It literally takes 5 seconds. So the way it works is, right, the pitch is thrown. The umpire will say ball or strike. And then it's up to the umpire discretion to say, this pitch is under review. They show it on the Jumbotron, and they show the actual, like what they show on TV where the ball landed. And they say, confirm that's a strike, overturn, it's a ball, and the pitcher just moves on. It doesn't take up much time. It's not like now where, you know, you got to determine whether he's, you know, it's just craziness. It's going to be so much better. I think if they have that, then you might not need the robotic umpires. I think, in my opinion, you can still keep the real umpires. You just have a machine that overrides them on their decision. So I like it. I think it's a good idea. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Like we spoke about a couple of podcasts ago, like I'm really excited about it. I think that it's going to help the game out. It's going to cause a lot of those issues where, you know, the batter gets upset at the ump, and it's going to just totally, you know, get rid of that altogether, and it's gonna speed up the pace of the game. I'm all for it, you know. And I think they should definitely keep the ump behind the, you know, the catcher there, because, you know, he's gonna actually call it. So this way you don't have to like constantly look at a scoreboard every single time, you know, a pitch is thrown. So the ump is gonna call it when he gets the feed in his ear. I'm cool with that. Let's just keep the ump there, but let the AI handle what the pitch was. You know, this way you can stay engaged in the game. And you don't have to constantly look at a scoreboard to see whether it was a strike or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes sense to me. Like, this is how they do it now. Like, keep the ump there, but the ump gets the call in the ear, and then he lets the fans know what's going on. So this way you can stay engaged. It's kind of cool. I like it. I'm excited for it. I hope they implement it as soon as possible. And this is something I know you're not ready for. You might be able to get this one, though. I don't know. This is a trivia question that I looked up today, and it was pretty interesting. And I want you to tell me, all right, if you can't do that, it's like a three-part, you know? Because if you can tell me who has the most career stolen bases, give me the player, cool. If you can't do that, I want you to tell me the number, you know, for the most stolen bases in a season. And if you can't do that, I want you to just give me the name of the player or outright.
Well, the Ricky Henderson is the one who comes to mind of the Oakland Athletics. Okay. How many in his career?
How many in his career? What do you think? And he holds it by a lot, too.
Oh, jeez. Man, that's a lot. There.
All right, so you got Ricky Henderson. That is correct. All right, now, both career and season. Like, what do you think? What was his high in the season? Which is pretty crazy because right now they're saying that Ellie De La Cruz is going to be the next guy, right? Ellie De La Cruz at this point right now in the season has 49. Okay, so.
So season wise, I think I'm going to get, what was it, like 76 or something that he had stolen? I don't know how many.
Wow. 130 in 82 with the A's, right? He was 23 years old when he pulled that off, right? That's insane. 130, and I believe out of 147 attempts, I believe. If I remember, no, I remember that correctly. Yeah, 147 attempts, 130 stolen in 82 with the Oakland A's at the age of 23. Yeah, and he has the most career stolen bases. And take a guess. How many do you think he stole over his career?
Oh, 3,150.
Wow.
Nah, way off.
We're at 1,406.
Okay. Yeah, I'm way off.
You know, because you get older.
You know, slow down.
You slow down a little bit, you know? It's okay, though, still. Ricky Henderson, amazing. What a great guy. I love that guy. I remember him. I remember watching him a lot, too. This is before he came to the Mets. Because, you know, when he came to the Mets, he was older and whatever. You know how we do. We always grab these superstars on the late side.
Yeah.
Come, yeah, you know, we get the jersey and we're like, yeah, wow, we have Ricky Henderson on our team. But nah, it's not the same Ricky Henderson. It's okay. He came here to retire. It's like Shea Stadium was like the retirement home for baseball players that wanted to make a little bit of extra more money and didn't want to quit the game just yet, you know. That's what it was for us for a while. But it's okay. So, you know, we're coming to the end of the show and hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, good luck to Mr. Jaren Duran and his quest to, you know, continue to, you know, excel at his position. And, you know, in the postseason, if he makes it, they're fighting, you know. And I think that with this guy making $760,000 a year, he's definitely, you know, doing amazing things for that price.
And yeah,
Boston, you know, capitalized on that one. And we can guarantee you that this guy will never see another jersey in the MLB at that rate. But, you know, he apologized and he's going to move forward, you know. Listen, etiquette, guys, etiquette. I play golf and there's etiquette out there as well. You know, you can't be having a conversation with four guys on the putting green when there's four guys behind you that want to play as well. You know, there's etiquette. You got to move along and you got to keep it pushing. You gotta be, you know, aware of your surroundings and what you're doing and who you do it for. You know, there's kids out there looking up to you and
yeah,
there's all types. You know, you gotta just stay focused, just man. Stay focused on your craft. Watch what you say, bro. But hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you on the next
one. See y'all next week.